Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Hour two begins, and we'll get to your college's equivalent at quarterback to Kevin Jennings, and I'll explain why I asked you to think about that. But first, let's get to Keith. Keith wants to talk some fantasy football. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Hey, Sean. Big fantasy football question surrounding the Washington Commanders. You know, 2 years ago, you know, NFC title game. Last year, missed the playoffs. Really bad season, a lot of injuries. This year, running back position, a huge question mark again. You know, Chris Rodriguez is in Jacksonville. You know, you've got Bill Merritt, year two. You've got incoming free agent acquisition, Rashad White, who's got, I don't feel like, a lot of tread on the tires with a ton of timeshare snaps in Tampa. Who's going to win that battle? Who is the go-to back to get for fantasy? Is it Rashad White with fresh legs, in my opinion, age 27, coming over from Tampa? Or is it Bill, year two, with a little bit more muscle? Obviously, McNichol is probably the third string back, is irrelevant in this conversation. But between Rashad White and Bill Merritt, who are you spending a fantasy pick on maybe in that, you know, round, you know, 8 to 10 area? Thanks.
If not for the circumstances of us being involved in a fantasy football league, I would summarily dismiss this question. But it would be weird and odd to do it considering – this big promotion we're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to
You will be faced with this, or probably be faced with
perhaps this. I could be.
They will be available.
Yes. You know what?
Because my initial answer, Keith, none of these guys. Don't, yeah. Don't draft. Or Catron Allen in like the last round. Because, yeah, but Phil Crosby, Merritt. No,
you posed the question, you know, 8 touchdowns last year. I'm going to call him Jacory Kroski Merritt, not yeah. Bill. I don't want my running back's name Bill.
That's fair.
So I'm going to go, I'll take Kroski Merritt over Rashad White and others for the Commanders.
Yeah. Give me the rookie. Give me the rookie and the fact that, like, man, someone's got to take these carries.
I mean, if we go back to last offseason, well, pretty much the preseason, Merritt was the name.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Remember?
He was like a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, and he showed out in preseason, and people were very excited about him. And at the end of the year, you put together 8 touchdowns as a rookie in nearly, you know, just over 800 yards, about 4.6 yards per carry. That's a good rookie season. We'll see with the Commanders having Jane Daniels back, and hopefully for his sake and this team's sake, the entire season being healthy, does that help? Because there's another threat as opposed to what they're running at a quarterback last year. So, since you asked, I'm going with Kroski Merritt. Sean wants to go with Catron Allen. The show overall would prefer that question not get asked. If you know the show, you would.
At least not about.
Not about Commanders.
Who to pick in the ninth round between two Commanders running
backs. Yeah, but we addressed it because.
Yeah, we gave it. We gave it the response that it
really deserves.
That we have to give,
yeah.
And that it deserves. That, like, we have to say it deserves.
What have we spent the lead up to the fantasy football draft?
One question a day.
About no, going. Oh. We ban all fantasy football questions, and
while giving away spots
and ridicule you as you ask the questions. That would be mixed messaging, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no,
thanks for the call, Keith. It's on brand for you as well. You're a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Yeah.
You're asking a question about not your rival, but
DMV
area, your regional acquaintance.
And you like Rashad White, the 27-year-old.
Of course you do, with fresh legs. And the question is based on what the Commanders are going to do as far as fantasy football and their running backs. It is really who you are. I appreciate people who stick with who they are. Although, you know, sometimes growth and change helps too. So I asked this question before we went to break, and I have my answer. Kevin Jennings, the SMU quarterback, he's there for his fifth year. He led them a couple seasons ago now to a playoff appearance where he had a very CJ-like playoff run. And by run, I mean a game where he threw pick after pick. He was the reason, along with the Penn State defense, that SMU went into Happy Valley and got trounced. In the following year, he was fine. He has the big upset win over Miami. But I believe they went into the final week of the regular season with the chance to make the ACC title game. I don't know if they were one of the favorites. Like, as long as they did what they had to do, they would get there. I don't know, because it was very complicated. The ACC likes to do that. But they went into Cal and lost. Not completely his fault, but not enough. It was a 38-35 final. I laid it out for you. He has a career stat line as far as touchdowns to picks. 55 touchdowns, 26 picks. So fine, but just a little over 2-1.
A little worse than I thought.
Yeah.
And that changes my answer.
Yeah. So now you have to find a different quarterback?
Yeah.
So Kevin Jennings, his name is going to go on an athletic building at SMU as a current player. And I don't know that he has a rich father who would buy a building for him at SMU.
No,
I would suspect not.
It was a donor who wanted it named in Kevin Jennings.
So a donor does it. You do what the donor says. So Kevin Jennings and his name will be on an SMU building. He's been a fine quarterback for SMU.
Yeah.
But not a great one, despite Sonny, our caller, thinking he should be in the Heisman conversation. Yeah, I just gave you his numbers. Not spectacular. Fine. He's fine.
Yeah, there's the 13 interceptions he threw last year is in bold, which normally means that you led the conference. He threw the most interceptions in the ACC last year.
And yet, Sonny's telling me should be a Heisman favorite. Okay, sure. So, his name is on a building, and Sean gave you the context why. So, okay, got it. I was trying to think of a quarterback for the Miami Hurricanes whose name was on the building that would most fit Kevin Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, I thought Brad Kaya. But now, considering the interceptions, one of this quarterback's signature things was, F it, I'm going deep. And some of it wound up in safety's hands. Jacory Harris.
Yeah.
Jacory Harris. The Jacory Harris Athletic Training Facility at Miami is the equivalent of Kevin Jennings getting his name on a building.
I was going to go Sam Ehlinger, and then I thought
Sam Ehlinger too for Texas.
And then I looked at his numbers. Sam Ehlinger's numbers are way
too
better.
Too good. He's too good.
Which is, you know, a little, just like reputationally, it's a little surprising. Even the passing numbers are better. To answer this question, it'll be the David Ash Athletic Training Facility.
Nice. David Ash.
I was like, maybe he didn't play enough. He played 29 games. Kevin Jennings played 39. Like, it's not
close enough.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Yeah. And 31 touchdowns to 18 interceptions. Like, okay, that's in the same vicinity.
And it's over a decade ago, so the game was a little different as far as, although the Big 12 did pass the ball around a lot, but David Ash didn't get the same opportunities. Only really was a full-time starter for one season. So that's not bad. Sam Ehlinger would have been more appropriate considering how much he played. It's just that the numbers are much better. Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, Sam won a won a Sugar Bowl. Kevin Jennings made a playoff game, so there's some similarities there. But, yeah.
Yeah.
David Ash Athletic Training Center would never happen, yeah. But I thought the Kevin Jennings training, at whatever it's officially called, would never happen, too. So, SMU hasn't been great in football over the last 30 years or so. So I get this donor wanting to give money and thinking, who's the most prominent SMU player I'd want? Who would fit the bill behind Kevin Jennings in the last 20 years for SMU football? It's kind of tough. So you would think there's got to be someone, right?
Who would supersede Kevin Jennings?
Do you put a
wide receiver,
a small wide receiver, yeah, on your training center?
He is just the best.
Yeah,
SMU
I'm not pushing back. It's just not the name you would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what makes it different than David Ash or Brad Kaya or Ja'Cory Harris is that
Rashee Rice, but you can't throw that name on there right now.
I was thinking you can't even put like Craig James and Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, have the SMU people move past that, or the NCAA is impotent. They can't do anything.
Yeah, no,
let's do it.
Reggie Bush has his Heisman.
Yeah. The Cortland Sutton Athletic Training Center. The James Prochet.
They have a
history of putting out NFL receivers.
I was gonna say like a number two receiver. You know, like on talent, Rashee Rice has to be the number one. But like the number, like, yeah, if your second receiver is Rashee Rice, Emmanuel Sanders, like, you're doing pretty good. Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, no doubt. Shane Buechele.
That'd been a funny answer.
Considering.
I wish I would have thought of that.
Yeah, I'm just going through the list of recent SMU standouts. And yeah, it speaks to where they've been as a football program. Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah, him too.
Him too. Yeah.
More likely his name's on an SMU building, I'd say.
Garrett Gilbert?
Yeah. People weren't thrilled with his performance on the 40 acres.
No. That's why he went to SMU. He was, and it all started great.
Yeah,
he came in the title game, and he brought some hope to that game.
They had like the ball with like a chance to lead at some point.
That's how that game went after being down big, and then of course
big Nick Saban barely beat Garrett Gilbert.
I mean, what was the final score?
I mean, there was a touchdown at the end that Mark Ingram scored. That was unnecessary, I'd say.
Some pile-on by Saban, but sure. So,
I think also Garrett Gilbert did throw like three interceptions.
Yeah. He struggled early and then found his way.
Found his way a little bit
and got people excited. Unfortunately, it didn't work out at the very end for the Horns. You know, I scoff at Kevin Jennings. Not a lot to choose from if you want to go with guys in the last 20 years.
And he's, you know, the face of their
current program.
Revival.
That's true.
I mean, really, you know, and I don't want to take a honor from an athlete and be like, actually, it should just be the coach. But Rhett Lashley is probably the next guy that would get something named after him, at least at SMU as things stand right now. But you can't really do that. To Rhett Lashley. I mean, I was going to say that. They did it to the starting quarterback. I don't know why they couldn't do it to an active coach.
Well, because
he didn't win anything.
They're guaranteed now that Kevin Jennings won't transfer. He's going into his final year. Rhett Lashley could always take another job.
Yeah,
and
that is true.
While Kevin Jennings did nearly hold them hostage going into their playoff appearance wanting more money. So it's all business no matter how much you love your quarterback.
That is true.
All right, we'll go to break. The Ja'Cory Harris Athletic Training Center. I can see it now. Only now, because it'll never happen.
Also, considering David Ash had to retire for concussions.
Yeah, maybe find a different quarterback, Sean, now that you're giving more context.
It's hard. You guys are either too bad or too good.
Yeah, you don't. Not a lot of middle ground in Texas, I guess.
Not really.
It's perfectly
not
fine,
really.
But always.
Or they didn't play enough. You know, like Case McCoy.
What about Quinn Ewers?
Too good.
Wow. Considering.
Too good.
You guys wanted him out the door for 2 years. Now he's too good to.
Well, Darsh Manning's also too good.
We'll see. Let's see. Kevin Jennings is like, hold on, wait a minute. You ain't made a playoff appearance yet.
I'll pull up the numbers.
You ain't made a playoff appearance. Well, the numbers got really bad because of the picks against Penn State. It was fine.
I pulled up last year he led the conference.
That's true.
That was the good season where he threw a million interceptions.
Kevin Jennings will say, I can beat a team from the state of Florida. Can you? Can you? All right, we'll go to break. If you want to get in on this, 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
So after more discussion, Sean, do you want to change the quarterback on the hypothetical Kevin Jennings adjacent athletic training center at Texas?
Yeah, well, hold on. I'm looking at Chris Sims. No, not going to be Chris Sims. The James Brown training facility at the University of Texas in honor of Kevin Jennings getting a training facility at SMU.
If you remember, James Brown was a quarterback of that Texas team who won the first ever Big 12 title game. They beat a Nebraska team who was hoping to win a third straight national title. Was that 1996 that game was?
I believe so.
You had Priest Holmes was on that team?
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
We used to watch God's play.
That's what I'm saying. I say that about the Astros.
As I was, six months old.
You're looking at Chance Mock stats as well. But,
well, now I'm looking at Major Applewhite.
That is one of Texas's guys. Yeah, I will admit to that.
Kind of too good.
Way too good if we're comping him to Kevin Jennings.
Wow.
So while...
This is the worst thing to ever happen to Kevin Jennings.
Because no one would ever have imagined that he would wind up on a building.
I didn't really investigate
that. Normally
his numbers.
Goes for rich people who donate, their names go, or a player of supreme accomplishments.
Yeah, the actual things named after players at UT is Earl Campbell and Ricky Williams. Those are the real things.
Kevin Jennings is going to ask to not bring up what UT does when you, particularly the players involved in comparisons to him. It doesn't go well. It has you giggling in there. It's not good for him. But credit to Kevin Jennings for being one of the authors of the SMU turnaround. He should be at least acknowledged for that, and one of the dark horses in the ACC. Okay, so Sean mentioned we watch God's play quarterback. I think I said that earlier this week about the Astros. Well, one of the non-gods, since I'm still in my Odyssey brain, it has just been traded. Well, about an hour ago. Nate Pearson, who was designated, has been traded, and he's another guy who's a pitcher that the Astros didn't have any time for, who some other team said, sure, we'll take him. Nate Pearson has been traded to the Royals. So his time with the Astros was over, and he finds himself with the Kansas City Royals. Nate Pearson just falls in line with another of the acquisitions this offseason for the pitching staff that woefully underperformed. I don't know how you could be this bad acquiring these pitchers, but Dana Brown found a way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for every Peter Lambert and Ronel Blanco, there seems to be just like five of Ryan Weiss's and Nate Pearson's and all
Mike
these.
Mike Burrows. Who...
Yeah, it really goes to show. Just like it is, like we always take note of the Peter Lamberts, the Jason Alexanders, but it's like
our hero.
They really throw a lot of darts at this board.
Yeah. And the last beacon is Tatsuya Imai, who pitched well enough last night, so that's nice. He had 13 days off between starts, so irregular, but he came back and pitched well. So the hope is, particularly because of his stuff and how his contract is set up, that he finds his way. Because while it's not guaranteed because he can opt out, the way he's pitched makes that seem unlikely. That's a guy you need because of what you're paying him and where you are as far as your staff is concerned. that guy needs to continue to show out like he did last night against the Marlins, and then maybe you can salvage what has been a miserable offseason as far as your pitching acquisition. So, Nate Pearson, now a Royal. Lance McCullers has already pitched for the Brewers, so maybe Nate Pearson will be someone that gets some time on the mound with the Kansas City Royals, but the Astros move on from him, and they had already tried to do that, but they found a way to make a trade. I don't know if they're going to get back. I was questioning what they would get back for Lance McCullers and Colton Gordon. Turns out they got a fielder.
Yeah.
An actual fielder. Jaden Fielder.
Third generation MLB player.
Yeah.
Well, he isn't an MLB player.
He's a A-ball player as it stands right now. Jaden Fielder, the son of Prince and the grandson of Cecil. So at least he's got the name.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen.
I'll take it. What else am I going to do?
Got somebody.
You were able to.
Honestly,
someone gave you a live human being.
It honestly is more than I thought. It's a
I thought
person
it was
with, I'm sure, a Wikipedia page.
Like now, the Royals took on some of the last vestiges of McCullers' contract. The Astros don't get off the hook completely. The Royals are taking a portion of it. I thought that was going to be the end of it.
That's payment enough.
Yeah. But. You got Jaden Fielder, who is currently with Fayetteville, for one of your Astros, a minor league teams. We'll see what happens. He's only 21 years old, and maybe there's something there. Maybe it's a great heist. Maybe this is Josh Fields for Yordan.
Yeah,
get it.
Yeah, this is the Yordan trade. This is the Bagwell trade.
Yeah,
this is the Jaden Fielder trade.
They gave us the wrong fielder.
Yeah. I will say the first pic on Google, when you Google Jaden Fielder, the first picture that pops up is him
as a child,
like 3 years old.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
I had a split second like, did I look up the wrong guy?
He's at probably spring training with his dad.
But as a child.
Yeah. I mean, I like a little bit more since he was 6 years old. But he made himself into at least a pro ball player. We'll see if he can rise up the Astros minor league ranks. So. That's the news of the day as far as the Astros are concerned, other than trying to beat the Marlins one more time, which would be nice after losing the first three to start the back half of the season, to flip it and take a series from a Marlins team who is spiraling. That was a team that up until the last series going in to the All-Star break and coming out of it were one of the better stories in baseball. While the Phillies had a giant turnaround themselves, the Marlins have found their way and were clearly in the midst of the wild card race, and they still are. But it's good to catch them at this time.
Yeah.
At one point, you did not want to see the Marlins, but you got them at the right time.
And better them than you, Astros.
Yeah, if someone's
if got, this series went the other way, you would just be in their shoes.
Yeah. You know? A long losing streak.
Yeah.
With the real bad vibe around the team. And welcome any other team struggling want to come to town.
Yeah,
we'll
Who's
take them.
Who's
too.
Next?
who else wants to further their misery by playing the Astros?
Red Sox, you stay over there.
Yeah, yeah.
No, thanks.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Are they due for a loss? And you'd love to have them. No, right.
I don't trust these guys to be. I don't trust the team that hit into a triple play last night to.
Yeah, Altuve hit into a triple play last night. Yeah. We haven't got to that. Someone very funny said he got tired of hitting into double plays. So let's try something different.
The great ones always have to top themselves, you know, whether it's Christopher Nolan going from Oppenheimer to the Odyssey or Jose Altuve going from double plays. What's more than that? Triple plays.
So I saw it live at the time, and he hits a ground ball to third around the horn for a triple play. And I'm looking at it going, because I have the game on mute. Is that a triple play? Like, you almost don't believe that that's what it is because of the rarity, of course. And then, oh, yeah, that is a triple play. I guess it's okay. We go from two men on in a good position to add some runs to the inning being over. And it was very easy. There was no.
It was
tailor made, as they say.
It was a routine triple play.
Not a spectacular move or play made by anyone who touched that ball.
It was, just grounded it straight to third base. Just boop, 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 boop.
Yeah. More proof of the ball, faster than the man. Yeah. And that ended the inning. And historic. Has he hit it? Do we know? I'm sure they mentioned it, but as I said, the game's on mute. Has he hit into a triple play before?
Oh, I don't know.
Was that his first ever?
Had to be. They're so rare that I figured them. I guess he has played for 12 years.
He's been around like long
15
time.
Years now.
Yeah, but if it's his first, let's hope it's his last. But that was a subplot to the game.
It was a real, like, at least for me, just kind of like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like, just stadium pulse immediately of like, oh.
What a momentum killer.
Is this what we're going to talk about at 10 o'clock tomorrow? It's just like when we knew it went wrong. And it was the triple play.
It was
Hader, obviously.
And Paredes.
Yeah, take care of things.
Yeah, so it was his first ever triple play. And as I said earlier, it was the legs of Yordan who kept the inning alive. And Paredes followed Yordan getting to first after striking out. But the wild pitch happened. He beats the ball to first. And then Paredes hits a home run to give the Astros a 5-1 lead. Hit into the Crawford boxes. I don't know why I said that, because where else is he hitting home runs? Is it still a thing where he only hits balls into left field, pull home runs? Does he still have that?
Did he have a center field home run? He might have had like one that wasn't an exaggerated pull spray chart, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, no, it looks all pretty
okay.
As I'm pulling it up on Fangraphs.
He has pulled. Isak Paredes has famously pulled every single home run of his major league career to left field. And the streak is still alive. I hope he goes his entire career never hitting a home. At this point, of course, you'd love to have him hit it the other way for his own benefit, for the Astros' benefit. But if it comes down to it, in this season, I don't want the streak being broken. I need that to still be a thing once this season is over.
There's one that's like borderline left center. it's still on that side of second base, but it's not Crawford boxes. If he hit it in Houston, it wouldn't be the Crawford boxes.
Okay, got it.
But there's two of them right next to each other. All the other ones are Crawford box joints.
I love some consistency. I appreciate it, Isak.
Yeah, you know, hey, listen, do what you do.
It is July 22nd, and there was a time where it was allegedly inevitable he wouldn't be here. But he told us in spring, I expect to be here. Mm-hmm. And you know what, Isak? You're right.
Oh, if you count last year, there's one even farther in left center field. This is like straight up left center field.
Okay. But
still no center field.
But it's still, as you said, still on a certain side of second base.
Yeah, it's probably at like 11 o'clock, you know? The rest of them are more 10 o'clock on a clock.
Got it. So Isak Paredes with the big home run to give the Astros some breathing room as they wound up winning that one or last night 5-3. All right, we got a couple more segments to go before we are done for the day. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. Did some Astros. They're playing a little bit better. They couldn't have been playing worse until they saw the Marlins come to town. So good time to see a Marlins team, and hopefully that continues tonight. The Marlins will have their best guy. Sean calls him Big Al.
Big Al.
Sandy Alcantara. However you say it, he's pitching tonight against the Houston Astros. We'll go to break.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Did you get a chance to see the bite mark that Puka left on the woman he was with? Have you seen that picture, Sean?
I saw it in the rundown. I didn't click on it yet.
So initially, the first picture that was available to people was in black and white, and you could see the impression that his teeth made, but it isn't as stark as, like, he bit her back, and it's, I don't know that dentists get a better impression when they're trying to take a mold. Look how, and it didn't, apparently there's like some micro abrasions, and, but no real breaking of skin where she bled, and I don't see how, considering how clear the teeth are in her back.
They're also
and,
like a complete circle.
Yeah. Like, where it's located, I would, they're in a Sprinter van, so I guess maybe she leaned forward. He just leaned over and go, ah, ah. That's crazy. First of all, the thought that you would have and the fact that you bit hard enough to leave that type of impression, and his lawyer at the time called it horseplay. The woman didn't feel like that considering the lawsuit that followed.
That, although horses also do bite.
They do, but she didn't have an apple.
No.
She wasn't trying to feed him. And horses, unless you're, well, I guess they could bite you in your back if you turn your back. But
yeah,
this one, this was, and she didn't have a shirt over it. She was in a tank top, so he got to skin. It was teeth on skin.
Oh, yeah.
And it's brutal.
You don't get impressions like that if it's not
biting through a t-shirt or something.
I mean, you can see like each individual tooth.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know that a dentist could, when you're, what, like, whenever, like, if we have all seen the movies where we're going to need dental records to identify, all you're going to need is this woman's picture to identify Puka if he's been to a dentist before. It is wild. And the lawyer, because you got to be a lawyer, her lawyer has said, I don't know if you know, but the mouth is one of the dirtiest places on the planet, given the amount of bacteria we have as humans. So she had a tetanus shot. She has suffered, I will put it in the context of mental anguish. The lawyer used words, but that's the gist of it. And he is being sued by her. You see that picture. I'm ruling in the favor of the plaintiff. Like, John has his court of law based off of the attractiveness of the criminal who's brought into his courtroom. I'm basing my judgment on the teeth marks.
Mm-hmm.
Does the defendant admit to this bite? He does.
It's horseplay.
I get a picture of, was it an actual horse or was it you, Puka? Oh, it was you. You're admitting to it along with the picture. Guilty. Or in this case, I rule for the plaintiff. Whatever you want, ma'am. I was like, excuse me, miss, would you want to wait until he signs an extension? Because big bucks are coming your way.
Yeah, that fifth round money.
Yeah, not whatever. Maybe you, like, I'm going to delay this case. Not because I think I have to contemplate much. I just think she should get a bag. And the fifth round bag is different from the
top
receiver in the game bag.
Yeah.
We can wait on this.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Puka had to go away to, like, personality wellness rehab or something like that.
Just chill out rehab.
Yeah, maybe the Rams simply said, hey, we need to get you out of the public eye for a good while. Just
go to that place Jesse Pinkman went in Breaking Bad. Just
whatever
sit
it takes.
By a pool for a little while. Just again, just chill out.
Just lay.
He was doing a lot.
Lay in the cut. Don't say anything. Yeah. Don't talk to anyone. Just watch film. This is an all in year, man.
I know. Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't this in like January?
Yeah, this happened. I don't know.
December, January?
Yeah, it happened. Let me make sure. But yeah, it was earlier in the year.
There was a point where just every 2 weeks there was like a Puka Nacua.
Yeah, because the streamer stuff where he.
That was during the season.
He was duped into agreeing to celebrating if he scored a touchdown in a way that would have been deemed offensive. That happened late in the year. They were heading to. They're going to go to Seattle, I think, for a game. But he was at Fanatics Fest, though, so he's out of. He's out of
let him out.
The a-hole rehab that he had to go to.
Did he have a Hannibal Lecter mask on?
No horseplay was threatened.
They gave him a bit to fight down on like an actual horse.
No blinders either. He was able to walk around like a normal human man at Fanatics.
All right.
But
no tank tops at least. Just don't want to give him the real estate, you know.
Just look out. Just watch. You never know what time Puka's on, but he looked healthy and happy at Fanatics.
That's good. That's good.
I'm very concerned. Yes.
I'm happy.
Puka looks healthy and happy.
Training camp right around the corner.
Look, man, we had a call from Keith. You want as many fantasy football players available as possible when you make your selection. And if Puka was locked up in A-hole rehab for the year, he would be off the board. But it appears Puka will be on the board for this upcoming season.
Best shape of his life.
I have not seen that yet. But I think whenever he first has to be interviewed about his offseason, there will be something along the lines of, I got my mind right, I got my body right, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to do my best to help the Rams win the Super Bowl. There will be something like that, in whether it's a statement or an answer to a question.
Next 2 weeks is big. Well, I changed up. I changed up how I either eat or how I work out during the off season. This is that time of year.
We got a quarterback who was supposedly on that type of time. Yeah. So I imagine more questions.
10 pounds of muscle.
Well,
I don't know if CJ actually did that.
I don't know, but
you could just throw it out there.
I'm sure at some point. I think he didn't speak very much during OTAs. He had the one appearance, and the memorable quote from that was he pretty much said he thinks he's done enough to get his contract, but we'll just wait and see there. Another couple weeks since we've seen him, I'm sure he's been as locked in as he was before. We'll see if we get an answer about I moved from Whataburger to kale salads. I'm not sure what it'll be as he emphasizes the change in his body composition.
CS7 workout.
Speaking of that,
TB12,
you got to get
and fanatics.
You got to get Tom Brady out of my face. Like, you know, if you're a Boston fan and you could be right to position your favorite player as the GOAT. Mahomes was coming for him a little bit, but you know Mahomes gets embarrassed in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Done that a couple times now, getting blown out in Super Bowls, and he had the injury last year. Although Brady did have an ACL tear and came back better than ever, so we'll see about Mahomes. You had gotten some space between the young GOAT about to catch up to you and your guy being the unquestioned best quarterback of all time. But is this the after career you're looking for, where he's now just a wrestling figure? Being very public about a potential pay-per-view with one of the Paul brothers. I don't even know which one it is. Is it Logan or Paul? Or, excuse me, Logan or Jake. But is that what we're looking for from Tom Brady? To pretend like he's got a beef with one of the Paul brothers? Look, how much do you need, Tom?
Right.
Like, you are the number one voice for Fox's coverage of the NFL. At least analysts.
Mm-hmm.
You're part owner of the Raiders. As much as it pains me to say, you're effing Tom Brady, man.
Yeah, you're doing commercials.
Yeah, how much more? How much more do you need? You need to be in a fake beef with a Paul?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't wish him the best. I hope this continues.
I hope he continues to tarnish.
I hope he continues to tarnish.
Yeah.
The level of professionalism and greatness that people believe that he held. I hope it continues.
Yeah. We talk about it a lot where it's like there is an end of the day, there is a like we don't really rock with you like that, so we're gonna knock you down a couple points on the legacy big board. Shout Karl Malone for being the biggest example of like no one wants to say that he was one of the greatest players of all time, so we don't.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady has just like a little bit of like, you know, if it's close, we'll just give it to Mahomes. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm okay if he tarnishes his image enough to where, yeah, we don't have to actually listen to or that only Boston people are the ones still carrying the flame for Brady. If it gets anywhere close, if we can just go, whatever, bleep that guy.
My hope is that it'll be them versus the rest of us in that battle.
Yeah.
That's what I agree. I don't know who else you got to get into a WWE fight with. Whoever it is. Maybe you fight the new Mysterio. Like, I don't know his first name, but there's another
Mysterio. Dominic.
Maybe you get into a fight with Dominic Mysterio. I don't know what it'll take.
Is Jake Gyllenhaal? The Spider-Man villain?
If only. If only they fought in a WWE pay-per-view. Do whatever for us to stop talking about you as the greatest quarterback of all time and continue to ask questions about what is Tom Brady doing?
Yeah.
Keep it up. Keep it up. All right, we got to go to break. We got one more segment to go. But before we go to break, I want to tell you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They are doing nothing to tarnish their legacy. You know, maybe aside associating with John and Lance. But as far as what they do to help you with plumbing, no questions about the performance. So if you want to see all the things they provide, go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Big jobs, small jobs, it doesn't matter. For them, they'll get it done. But honestly, for someone who doesn't know anything about plumbing, all the jobs are going to be big. Don't get involved in something that causes real damage to your home. If you see a leak and you're not sure how to fix it, I got someone for you, and I got a number for you. The number is 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238. Call the people at Aqueduct Plumbing and get an answer to your problems. And also, once they diagnose the problem, you don't get charged for the assessment. They'll give you a free quote, and then they'll figure out what they need to do to fix your problems. From the reviews on the website to all the services they provide, you're going to get all the answers to any questions you have. That's Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're back inside the Huntington Bank Studios with Del Olalea and Sean Mapes.
All right, we got a couple minutes to go before we're done for the day. It'll be Rich Eisen after me, and then Jeremy and Joe after him. But the station, at least part of the station, right? We're going to be out at Pleasure Pier in Galveston later in the week.
On Friday.
Is that on Friday? Is
yes,
that from
pending tropical storm.
Weather? Yeah. From 12 to 6, right? Is that the deal? Or is it 3 to 6?
I think just 3 to 6.
3 to 6. Yeah, not 12 to 6. I mean, normally if we're out all day, we'll have a 12 to 3 show. But yeah, 3 to 6, Jeremy and Joe out at Pleasure Pier in Galveston. You guys have heard some of the promos. So if you're in that area, it's not often that the station will get down there just because of location. But if you're in the area, you want to see the guys, go out there at Pleasure Pier, as you heard Sean, pending weather. And not just weather, a tropical storm.
Also, stay safe out there.
Yeah. Beyond the fact that, you know, I'm suggesting you brave the weather to see those two. If that's not possible, be safe. A tropical storm is not something
to laugh at. And if it's not possible, they probably won't be doing the show.
If you have to brave the weather, as we say, it's unlikely those guys are going to be down there. So let's hope for the best in all regards. Sean, we've got another stadium that's going to tempt the Texans. The Chiefs. $3 billion dome stadium in Kansas. So they're going to move away from Arrowhead and move out of the state from Missouri to Kansas. And it'll be $3 billion for this. It'll be a translucent. It'll be similar to SoFi.
Yeah, like SoFi.
And you'll get the natural sunlight, but you'll be covered from the elements. And some people are probably going to be upset about Kansas City not being able to bring a team from, you know, South Florida up there for the coldest game in recent memory in a playoff game.
Have people's digits freeze off?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why I was being very, very specific about that, but there was a certain playoff game where no one should have played in the game, but they still did it.
Yeah.
Got Mahomes' helmet cracked in the middle of it because he got hit. So they're moving away from the elements, and it'll cost them $3 billion. It looks great. I don't particularly care about the Mystique Arrowhead. I don't root for the Chiefs, so why would I? The McNair's got to be like, okay, that's another one.
Yeah.
We got in the AFC South, Nissan Stadium's going to host the Super Bowl because the Titans got their stadium built.
They're doing the Lionel Messi face to Jude Bellingham. They're doing the okay.
So, right. And you know Kansas City will be gifted a Super Bowl.
Yes. And I'll say
they'll get their one.
And they'll join the March Madness rotation.
Yeah, because they will have a giant stadium to put on display for the NFL.
Yeah.
So we talked about it. We asked, would a Super Bowl be in Europe before the World Cup or before the McNairs got another Super Bowl?
Before the next U.S. World
Cup. U.S. World Cup, yes. The next U.S. World Cup, which it appears it could be 2038, or the McNairs getting another Super Bowl, right? That was the setup?
Yeah. Texans, Europe, U.S. World Cup.
Yeah. Let's throw KC getting a Super Bowl into the mix before the McNairs get another one.
They'll get one within the next, like, three that are handed out.
Yeah. Whenever the date is set for that stadium to open, we will hear about a Super Bowl going to Kansas City within 2 years.
Yeah.
And do the McNairs get themselves another Super Bowl before then?
Nah.
Not the way
they can't. They can't even convince the city to pay for it.
No. But as we said, they can host the World Cup. They can host Final Fours. They can host national title games
and blow away European soccer fans.
European fans blown away by NRG. You know, it's a fine stadium.
It's good. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. It, at the moment, because it's been around since 2002, is being positioned as a relic. Hey, this thing is old. And to be honest, perhaps fix the roof, as we've talked about. That could be done. I don't know that we need a whole new building. But, you know, maybe find a way to fix the roof, stop some leaks. You know, while you're putting Reliant back on the stadium, hey, that roof thing.
Yeah.
Work on that, too. So
knock that out. Call Brinkman.
I won't participate in it. I can't wait for people of Kansas City or wherever that stadium will be built to defend their city while everyone's like, we got to go where? Like, add Kansas City, Kansas, or wherever that wherever that stadium is going to be.
When NFL media members are
add them to the mix of people who have
the Marriott?
To defend their city against the hordes of people saying a Super Bowl should never be here.
Yeah.
But you build a $3 billion stadium, you're going to have a Super Bowl. And Kansas City and the Kansas City Chiefs look to be next up at some point in the next decade or so. All right. That music certainly means we're done for the day. Since we're done, Sean, what's it going to be?
I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Yeah. McNairs, quit asking. Rich Eisen is up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.